Still 9:59. So the fact that my microphone isn't on is not an issue, because we're still not in worship. It's 9:59. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can gather in the presence of God and offer Him our praise and thanksgiving. For indeed, our God is a good God and greatly to be praised. The announcements for this morning were on the screens as you were coming in, and I hope you had an opportunity to peruse them as they flashed by and to make note of those which are most important to you. Many of them are also in the bulletin. As we launch into another fall season, lots of things are starting up again, so be paying attention to our announcements each week. Because there's lots of things that will be of interest to you. A couple of quick items for you. Before I launch into announcements, I'm a task-driven person, I'm sorry. Welcome to anyone, welcome to all who are here, but especially if you are new to St. John's or visiting with us, we're pleased to welcome you, and a welcome to those who join us on the live stream each week. It is good that we can gather with both friends and strangers from near and far and be present in worship with one another. The pastoral care team is looking for volunteers to reach out to seniors in our congregation, and there are names and numbers in the bulletin. That was one that wasn't on the screen this morning, so please make note of that. You were invited. One of the ones on the screen had to do with the choir. Choir is starting up for another season, and we're very excited about that. We're looking forward to a wonderful new season of music in the congregation. And if you would like to join us as part of the choir, we'd be thrilled to have you come along. Some days we're a trio. Some days we're a quartet. When we're really, really lucky, we get to be a quintet. But we could stand one or two more. There's lots of room in the choir loft, and the seats are comfortable up there. So do consider coming and being part of the choir as we lead worship each week. There will be a rehearsal this morning following worship, our first rehearsal of the season. So please plan for that. And as we mentioned last week, we're kind of catching up on some things that we've been a little negligent with, but looking at welcoming new folks who have joined the congregation into the fellowship of membership within the congregation. And if you have been with us for a while and aren't a member but would like to formalize that relationship you have with us here at St. John's, you are invited to do that. There are different avenues for folks who are kind of the family of the Reformed Church. If you come from another Presbyterian congregation, a United Church congregation, a Christian Reformed congregation, normally our way of welcoming people is simply through a certificate of transfer from the congregation that you are leaving to us. And you can contact your own church or speak to me about that, and we can make those arrangements to have certificates transferred here. For folks who are from other traditions, it's nice, and indeed for anybody, it's nice to come together and kind of just familiarize ourselves with what does it mean to be Presbyterian? What do Presbyterians really believe? What am I signing on to if I say I want to be a member of this place anyway? And for that purpose, on Wednesday evening, September the 16th, if I've counted the days right, the 16th, we will be having just a brief meeting, an hour and a half or so, to kind of do just some real basic kind of intro 101 to Presbyterianism and the beliefs of the Presbyterian Church. And indeed, all are invited to that, but particularly others who might be coming from other faith traditions and coming into our congregation. And so really looking forward to that evening with folks. And then, I haven't quite made up my mind yet, but for Bible study people, the week after that or the week after that, we're going to launch Bible study for the year. So either the 23rd or the 30th. This fall, we're going to begin a study on the book of Revelation. Revelation's always the hot topic. Everybody wants to do Revelation, so we're looking forward to the book of Revelation this fall. And anyone is welcome to join us on a Wednesday evening to do that. And finally, I don't know if you all remember this or not. Does anybody remember this? Anybody? Nobody. Well, it's a good thing we found it. Back in the year 99 going into 2000, the denomination encouraged congregations to put together covenant boxes. A kind of a little bit of a time capsule that would be kind of stored for the congregation, and in 25 years we'd pull it up. As it turned out, the year 2000 was the 125th anniversary of the formation of the denomination we presently know as the Presbyterian Church in Canada. 25 years from then, which happens to be 2025, happens to be the 150th. I don't know if that was part of their planning or not. I kind of faintly remember getting the memos about it, but I don't really remember much else. Anyway, this was found down in the archives by Nick. It says, St. John's Presbyterian Church, Cornwall, Ontario, do not open until 2025. We're not waiting for Christmas, by the way. We're going to open the covenant box next Sunday in worship, and our worship next week will be based on the contents of this. So stay tuned. If you know anybody who was involved in, and since nobody remembers it, I'm guessing you don't remember who was involved in putting the box together. If you know anybody who was involved in the putting together of the box, please make sure that they know about the service. Oh, and finally, a lovely note was received from Minna with regard to the little reception we had for her last week and the celebration of her time with us, so please make note of that. Brenda, while you're doing the session report, I'm going to have to look for the lighter. I had it here this morning. I just don't see it now. Anybody see the lighter?
Good morning. Session met on Tuesday at 7 p.m. Reverend Adams constituted the court with a prayer and a reading from Psalm 1, which is a meditation on the contrast between the blessed life of the righteous person and the downfall of the wicked. The process for choosing new elders will take place after the new members' classes. Session agreed that the House Committee approved the use of the Caldwell Hall for a few dates with this fall for the Sikh Society of Cornwall. Susan McDonald will work with this group to ensure the facilities are left in good condition. Session also approved the use of the sanctuary for a Christmas concert led by Susan Toman. This group has asked for help with advertising event. If you're willing to help with this, please speak to Susan McDonald. The newly created mission and outreach team has met a few times. They had taken on the monthly collection and the Presbyterian sharings. They supported the Doors Open Committee event over the summer. They will meet again on September the 18th. The Faith and Nurture team has been planning fun events for the Sunday school season. They welcome new members to the current roster of Sunday school teachers, Faith and Nurture, led by Trish Brown, and the Mission and Outreach team, led by Susan McDonald, are discussing the possibilities of a Christmas dinner as a community outreach. Please watch the announcements for dates and events and how you support both of these committees' important work. John Adams, Roll Clerks, reported that there are two certificates of transfer. Session also approved the removal of some members and adherents who are no longer active in our faith community. These people have received a letter letting them know that at any time they would like to return as an active participant in the life of the church, our doors will always be open and they'll always be welcome. I reported the World Communion Sunday will be October the 5th. Session approved a week of holiday time in November for Reverend Adams. The elders agreed to conduct the service on September the 21st while Reverend Adams is at another congregation in the presbytery. Thank you.
Thank you, Brenda. It was in the pulpit. But it's black and it's dark in there, so I couldn't find it. Friends, as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that we who are his followers seek to walk according to his light. The call to worship for this morning is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning. There is good and there is wicked in the world. Lord, help us find the good. The wicked are perishing. Like chaff, they will not stand before the Lord.
Lord, drive wickedness away with the wind.
The good are like a tree planted by streams of sweet water. Lord, let goodness yield its fruit in every season. Our delight is in the law of the Lord. Let us meditate upon God's promises from morning until night. Let us pray. Loving God, we have gathered here this morning to meet you. We have come to listen to you, to seek you, to worship you. You are the beginning of all things, the life of all things. You knew us before we were born. In you we become, and in you we live. Loving God, you are here and everywhere, around us and within us, and you know our inmost thoughts. In you we hope, and in you we live. You are the source of serenity, giving peace that is beyond our understanding. In you we are still. In you we live. Loving God, we live in you, we worship you. Loving God, you live in us, and we worship you. Amen. As we come and praise this morning, our opening hymn is number 649, How Clear Is Our Vocation, Lord, number 649, or as it appears before you on the screen.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Friends, Jesus calls us to follow him, knowing that the path is difficult and that sin lurks at every turn. Trusting in God's mercy, let us seek forgiveness that we may follow more nearly in the ways of Jesus. Let us come confessing our sins as we say the prayer as it appears before us on the screens. O God, you have given us a firm foundation in Jesus Christ, yet we have chosen to build on sinking sand. The works of our hands crumble around us, and our best efforts are not good enough. Sin is real, and we are powerless before it. Forgive us for thinking we know best. Mend our broken values and create in us hearts that seek your purposes, so that what we build with our lives may give you glory. Amen. Friends, hear this good news and know it to be true. Jesus accompanies us on the journey of life, offering abundant mercy and bountiful forgiveness along the way. This is our good news, that in Jesus Christ we have been forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. And we turn once more in the Book of Praise, to sing the hymn 348, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus, number 348, or as they appear before us on the screen.
Thank you.
Now, on most Sundays, we ask the young people to come forward. But this morning, we're going to do something different. We're going to let the young people stay in their seats, and we're going to ask the Sunday school teachers to come forward. As we start another year of Sunday school lessons and educating our youth in the faith, we want a chance to recognize our Sunday school teachers, to give thanks to God for their generosity in sharing their time and their gifts with the broader congregation, and especially the young people in nurturing faith, and to pray over them that they may know God's blessing in this year ahead. So I'm going to ask Trish to come forward. Trish, of course, and Laura have been our yeoman service for the last couple of years. So Trish and Laura are our mainstays and of our Sunday school time. We also invite to come forward Jeanette Secord, who has agreed to help this year, Colleen Adams, Kyung Mai Park, and Susan Newton. I don't see Susan here this morning. Kyung Mai, come on up, Colleen. And our nursery care people, they may actually be already ensconced down below, but I'll read their names anyway. And if they're here, but I'm not seeing, they can come forward. Carol Ann McFarland, Susan Poirier, and Sherry King are our faithful nursery care providers, and we're grateful for them as well. There is a liturgy found in your bulletins this morning, and I would invite you to join in with this, and let us stand. As the people of God, we are always growing in faith and understanding. We give thanks to God for the people who commit themselves to the church's teaching ministry. It is through the work of willing teachers that we are helped to come to know and love our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us join our voices together as we say the prayer. Our God, bless this congregation and all who teach and lead. May we all grow in faith and be willing to reach out to people in the world to share your love. Strengthen our commitment to the church's teaching ministry. May your Spirit guide us to hold passionate convictions without arrogant judgments. Open our eyes and ears to see and hear all aspects of truth so that we may work with compassion for your justice. Help us to risk change for the gospel's sake. In the name of Jesus, amen. For our teachers and leaders, you have agreed to be part of the teaching ministry of this church, proclaiming the good news to people who live in a rapidly changing world, a world of conflict, a world struggling with values and direction in the future. In so doing, you have offered yourselves to give leadership to the children of God so that they may learn, grow, and discover together. Therefore, I ask you, do you confess your faith in God, the creator and sustainer of the world, in Jesus Christ, who is our Savior and Redeemer, and in the Holy Spirit as your guide to truth? Do you offer yourselves in humility, being subject in everything to God, who rules over all, giving of your time for the study of the Holy Scriptures and planning for the nurture and training of those entrusted to you?
We do.
Do you, the members of St. John's Presbyterian Church, accept these teachers and the responsibilities given to them to nurture your children in God's way, truth, and life? And do you promise to support, encourage, and uphold them in this teaching ministry with your prayers, your interest, and your participation?
We receive these teachers in their responsibility to teach our children, and before God, offer them our constant support by prayer and willing help.
In our church, the session is entrusted with the task of overseeing the education of God's people. Before God, the session pledges to be responsible for the administration, oversight, support, and evaluation of the education program, and further promises to you our prayers and willing help. By the authority of the session, you are commissioned to teach and lead in this congregation. Be enthusiastic, honest, and faithful to Christ our Lord. Be respectful of our past traditions, be dedicated to the present programs, and be willing to be innovative as you reach out in faith to the needs of our children this year.
May God's blessing be upon you and surround you as you serve in this task. And may the blessings of God be upon all who are gathered here as we grow and develop in our faith and love for him who first loved us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And with that, I would invite the congregation to be seated. Those who are going back to their seats may do so. And the young people and those who are going downstairs are going for a scavenger hunt today. So have fun, everybody, and we'll see you after worship this morning. And I neglected in the announcements to note that I see Sunday fixings at the back of the sanctuary this morning, so there will be ice cream for a little snack at the end of worship this morning. Kind of a tradition in many congregations on our first day back when we commission our teachers and begin our Sunday school program is to have a Sunday. So please plan to stay and have a time of fellowship and some ice cream before it turns too cold to eat the ice cream. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Blessed are you, Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning, your Spirit breathed into all creation, and you continue now to renew the face of the earth. Your Spirit breathed life into the Scriptures, and we pray that you will continue to speak your word into our hearts. Your Spirit breathes peace and comfort to the whole world, and we pray that you will enact that among your people today. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Our reading from the Old Testament today is from Deuteronomy 30, verses 15 to 20, and I don't have the sheets. Okay. It's marked in the Bible. Okay. That's Exodus. The Psalm. Here we go. 15 to 20. Let us hear the word of God. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him, for that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And the responsive reading is from the Psalms, Psalm 1, in its entirety. And the words will appear before you on the screen. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or take the path that sinners tread or sit in the seat of scoffers.
Their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on whose law they meditate day and night.
They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper.
The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away.
Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous.
For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
And the epistle reading this morning is from Philemon 1 to 21, and it can be found on page 207 in your New Testament. But not my Bible. Sorry. Did he mark it with the, no, he didn't.
There's Philemon.
Thank you. All right. Thank you very much, Michelle. All right, reading 1 to 21. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Achippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith toward the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. For this reason, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty, yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I am appealing to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful, both to you and to me. I am sending him, that is, my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me so that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel, but I preferred to do nothing without your consent in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So, if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I am writing to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say.
And our hymn is number 570. I have decided to follow Jesus. Number 570, or as it appears before you on the screen.
Thank you.
And our gospel reading for this morning, taken from Luke chapter 14, reading verses 25 to 33. Let us listen for God's word to his people. Now large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wager war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes out against him with 20,000? And if he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. I think this is the longest sermon title I've written in quite a while. Theology on a large white t-shirt. Or George Michael was right. Pop culture reference, you got to be a certain age. The graphic t-shirt, you know, that t-shirt with something printed across the front of it, has become a fashion staple for many, many people, from concert t-shirts with the merchandise from your favorite band that you've just been to see, to keepsakes perhaps emblazoned with the most recent destination for your vacation, to things that are, well, maybe a little bit more personal, maybe something that you think was funny at the time. Probably all of us have in our drawer at home a t-shirt with some sort of text or design on it. And of course, the Christian apparel industry is no different. From t-shirts of your favorite Christian band to some clever play on words that says something about the faith, there are Christian graphic t-shirts. Back in, I guess, the late 90s or the early 2000s, somewhere around there was a Christian graphic tee that had just four letters on it. F-R-O-G. Did anybody own the frog t-shirt? And it usually had, you know, a little kind of cute gecko, Geico gecko type frog caricature over here on one side, probably crawling up the F. And it stood for fully reliant on God. That's but the last one that I can remember anyway. WWJD, maybe I should have used that one. That was the other big one just a little before that time. And as I was reading through the text for this morning, most notably the text from Deuteronomy chapter 30, my mind kept wandering back time and time again to the image of the pop singer George Michael. Anybody remember George? You might not remember frog t-shirts. You remember George Michael. George Michael from the 1980s, clad in an oversized white t-shirt that said, "Choose life." Every time I got to verse 19 in that reading from Deuteronomy, George Michael was there waiting for me in my mind. Choose life. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curse. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live. It's not unfamiliar to us, the construction of this passage from Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy does it. Our reading from Psalm 1 this morning does the same thing. Lays out two realities side by side. Happy is the man. Happy is the one. From Psalm 1 to, but not so the wicked. Right? And here in Deuteronomy, it's blessings and curses, choose life. Why does God present this stark option before the children of Israel this morning, before you and I? The book of Deuteronomy, in broad strokes, are the last words that were given to the children of God by Moses, after he had led them all the way through the desert wanderings of the Exodus, as they stand on the threshold of the promised land. And if you recall the story, Moses cannot go further. Moses will remain forever on the threshold of God's great promise to the children of God because of his lack of faith. Deuteronomy stands as the last teaching of the children of God before they will make this transition and go into the new land. And roughly speaking, Deuteronomy is divided into three sections. The beginning section reminds the people of the journey that they've just been on, the Exodus journey, and all of its trials and tribulations. The second section recalls the covenant that God had forged with the people, signified by God's giving of the Ten Commandments to his children. And the third section is the exhortation to be faithful. As the people prepare to claim the land that God has promised to them and the life that they would enjoy there. And in this third section, towards the end of the book of Deuteronomy, chapters 28, 29, 30, God exhorts the people to obey God because in God the people will find life and blessing. In some respects, those two little words, choose life, are a summary not just of this section of the book of Deuteronomy, but indeed they are a summary of all of Scripture that is contained in our Bibles up to this point, and one might argue moving forward as well, because God is a God of life. From the story of creation, where God calls out of the darkness and chaos of the pre-creation through the long collection of stories of the rebellious people, to the story of Abraham and then Isaac and Jacob, where this family of faith is formed from an aged man and his barren wife to be a great nation. God is presented as nothing less than the Lord and giver of life. And then, from slavery and harsh cruelty in Egypt, God sets the people free. Guiding and protecting them through the desert, God ensures that they stay together and are provided for, and always this vision of the last rest before them, the vision of a land and of a life. And yet, throughout the very same story, there are the accounts, aren't they, of the backsliding of the people. For every blessing that God gives to humanity, there is likewise a stumble along the way. The people look back. The people turn aside, and they are attracted by all of those things that are not life. The children of God were scarcely free from Egypt before they started to challenge Moses as they started their wandering in the deserts, wanting to turn back because the desert seemed to be such an inhospitable place, and they had food and they had water when they were in Egypt. They didn't really, if you read the story, but such are the temptations of the world that the grass always looks greener somewhere else. When Moses went up the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments from God, what should have been a time of the greatest blessing of the children of God, because they are right there at the foot of the mountain where God is present. And the dark clouds hang overhead, and the thunder thunders and the lightning flashes. Surely they must have known that God was present with them. And yet, the people sought an idol to follow because Moses was just taking too darn long. On and on it goes. These challenges go side by side with the presentation of God and God's guiding presence with them each day of their lives are also the trepidatious steps and the wandering of the people of God. And that's why this section of Deuteronomy, in this section of Deuteronomy, Moses reminds the people so many different times that they must follow God. In this section, this third section of Deuteronomy, these three chapters that we're looking at close to the end of the book, God reminds the people, Moses, and God through Moses, reminds the people 10 times in 3 chapters, 10 times that they must obey God. That's why this section is so important, because we live in a world that through the fall has become marked by sin. That while God can be so close to us and his power can be manifested all around us, yet we still know the influence and the power of the world to distract us, to tempt us in other ways. And it abounds. So time and again, Moses exhorts the people to obey God, to follow God's command, because Moses knows, you know, the power of this world to draw us away from God is strong. And every day, every single day, you must choose. Choose to walk in the path of death, the paths that deviate from God's will for us and for creation, or choose life so that we can abide in God's presence. We live in a world these days in which the guiding principle of so many is everyone for themselves. Acquire what you can. It's very Egyptian, by the way, isn't it? Ramses, building his great city, his great storehouse of treasure upon the backs of the enslaved Egyptian people. And when they don't make bricks fast enough, he makes them work harder. Think about everything that we hear in the news every single day. Disputes about immigration and who should or should not be in a country. The international disputes and wars of acquisition or of some sort of reference to a historical greatness sometime way back when. Or just the very selfish living of others who do not care for the world around them. In oh so many ways, we are reminded of the power of this world to draw us away from God and to make us the worshipers of the kingdom of death. And some would even invoke the name of God to defend the fact that we have reverted to the ways of the world, to turn a blind eye to the suffering of all of us around them because, well, if God really wanted them to prosper, God would bless them. Or the idea of the prosperity gospel, or the Christian nationalists who we hear all around us every day who claim that we are a Christian country, but Christian by their terms, which means exclusive to so that no one else can believe anything different from them, including other churches, and that no one who looks different should be part of their kingdom. Denying the fact that God creates us all. The dangers of this world are real. The power of the kingdom of this world seeks to draw us away from God, to choose death over life, division away from unity. I really started thinking about George Michael because of the last sentence that I read in one of the things I was reading today. It's the best thing that I read all week long, so I'm going to share it with you this morning. It was a reflection on this passage from Deuteronomy, and they concluded by saying that out of this passage from Deuteronomy arose a rabbinical teaching that out of this text and the reality of the world in which it was lived, that as we seek to apply the law of God to our daily lives, we must remember this, that the law of God leads to life, because our God, as we have noted, is a God of life. Any interpretation of the law, any claiming to invoke the name of Jesus Christ that leads us, that leads to death and not life, is not faithful because it denies the fundamental nature of God. Our God is a God of life who creates and recreates us each new day that we can stand in his presence. Simply put, all of the teachings of Scripture and the church can be summarized in just two words. Two words for you today. If you remember nothing else, remember this. Choose life. And in all things, give thanks to God, whose mercy and life-giving power we seek to follow and to live out each day of our lives. Amen. Our affirmation of faith for this morning is taken from the Presbyterian Church in Canada's Living Faith document. It's taken from chapter 3.4, which is entitled, Jesus is Savior. And we read responsively from Living Faith. Jesus is the mediator through whom God has come to us and through whom we come to God. Christ died for our sins, the innocent one born our condemnation on the cross. He suffered and was put to death for the sin of the world. God's reconciling act in Jesus Christ is a mystery, which the scriptures describe as the sacrifice of a lamb, a shepherd's life given for his sheep, atonement by a priest. It is also the innocent dying for the guilty, the ransom of a slave, payment of a debt, and victory over the powers of evil. Such expressions interpret the love of God, revealing the gravity, cost, and sure achievement of our Lord's work. Yet that love we cannot fully explain. God's grace received by faith alone pardons and justifies, redeems and reconciles us. Thanks be to God. Amen. Jesus says, if we would learn from him, we must follow him. Large crowds listened to Jesus, but they turned away when they realized the cost. Jesus said, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all of your possessions. Therefore, we are encouraged to be generous with the fruit of this life and of our labors, and on behalf of the good we are called to do through Jesus Christ. Let us now present our tithes and offerings to the Lord. Let us pray. We give you thanks this day, O God, for the goodness and love that you have shown to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. And we pray your blessing upon these gifts. May they build your love in the world and give honor to your name. We pray these things through Christ alone. Amen. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Extravagant God, you pour out blessings upon us and lead us on the path of true life. Help us to choose life, that we might revel in your love and reflect it to everyone we meet. We pray for the mission of your church and thank you for the joy and encouragement we receive from you through our church family. Give us the grace to plant faith and build love wherever you lead us, to the benefit of your reign. We pray for all leaders and people of this world. Give us a clear vision of the world as you have intended it to be, and the will to realize that dream of justice and peace for all people. We pray for all this day who are suffering in body, mind, or spirit. Bring refreshment to their hearts through Christ, that they may know your abiding presence and the power that is in you to comfort and to heal. We pray for the creation. Convict us of the ways in which we break down and destroy the fabric of your world, and give us the will to amend our ways as we seek to live in harmony with the goodness that you have created. We pray, O God, for the saints, for those who have died and those who are dying this day, that they may rest in your eternal glory with all the saints of light. Hear us now as we pray in the manner that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And our closing hymn of praise today is number 211 in the Book of Praise. Take up your cross, the Savior said. Number hymn 211, or as it will appear before you on the screens. And now let us go out into the world, seeking to love and serve the Lord in all that we do. And as you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace this day and forevermore. Amen.